Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is a Thunder and Lightning Extra here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. He's not on the phone today with me. This is my friend Ross Dellinger in studio here in Starkville trying to stir things up as usual, the national media over there. What's going on, man?
Yeah, swoop in, right? Swoop in, dig a little bit, and stir the pot. Yeah, you know, right? That's all we do.
I'm excited to talk to you because when you were on Sports Talk Mississippi with Richard and Michael, it's always expansion this and realignment that. Let's just talk some college football. Let's talk some games and some players and some coaches. And obviously, you here in Starkville, Mississippi State defeating Texas A&M last Saturday. The Bulldogs look pretty good. Ole Miss looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. Are we building towards an Egg Bowl with something on the line this year?
Yeah, you know, it's my fourth year at SI, and I haven't yet covered an Egg Bowl because none of them were worth the expense of, you know, teams were 5 losses, 4 losses, whatever. But this year, maybe this is the year. I'm hoping this is the year that I can cover an Egg Bowl for SI because they do. Both teams look pretty good. 1 loss between them right now. And you look at the schedules and, you know, they both play in the SEC West, so there's issues there. Mm-hmm. And State, unfortunately, gets the cross with Kentucky, who's, you know, pretty solid this year, and that game is at Kentucky. And then State gets the Georgia game this year. So State's got a little bit of more difficult road, but you could see maybe that being like a 9-2 versus an 8-3, yeah, or 10-1 versus a 9-2 thing, maybe even. You could kind of envision that happening. You know, I covered the Ole Miss Kentucky game, and Ole Miss's defense really impressed me. And I don't know how much that was Ole Miss's defense as it was Kentucky's offensive line. They really struggled blocking anybody for their first round draft pick, who is in person, you know, has a really incredible arm and it's fun to watch. But they struggle blocking. So State's got a chance, even though that's up there, to beat them. I really believe that. But yeah, it's fun year in Mississippi. It reminds me of the kind of the 2014 year.
Yeah, you know? We talked about that on this podcast a little bit before the LSU game. And then, yeah, when the LSU game went south, I tried to get away from that a little bit. But this stretch for Mississippi State is kind of like that stretch in 2014 where State beat LSU, beat A&M, and then beat Auburn. And instead it's A&M, it's Arkansas, and it's Kentucky. What becomes of Mississippi State if they travel to Alabama at 6-1?
Yeah, I know that would be the biggest game against Alabama, I guess, probably since that year, right?
Yeah, yeah, easily, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's and, you know, and I wrote about this over the weekend a little bit, but Alabama and Georgia have gotten exposed a little bit. We've seen early in the year Alabama struggling to win at Texas, and then obviously losing it, Bryce at Arkansas, and allowing Arkansas to score 23 straight points, which is a rarity. You don't see that a lot from a Nick Saban team, and you got to wonder about Bryce's health. And then Georgia, you know, struggled with Kent State and then almost got beat by Missouri. So there's definitely some exposing that has happened. And I think that bodes well for everybody else in the league. So I just can't imagine Georgia and Alabama, after seeing the first few weeks of the year, each of them going through the regular season undefeated. Like, I feel like somebody's getting a loss. Either one of those teams is getting a loss somewhere.
When you think about Mississippi State, which of those teams is more gettable for them?
Alabama, is it at Alabama?
It's at Alabama.
Yeah. So Georgia's here, and I think Georgia has probably some more holes that were exposed, especially by Missouri. So I would think that the Georgia game would be, like, you know, more gettable for Mississippi State. I mean, both games are obviously going to be really difficult. You know, watching the Missouri Georgia game, you're just kind of like scratching your head because you see some of the Georgia players, like, their tight end is like the Jolly Green Giant. I mean, it's absurd.
Love that guy.
Brock their running Bowers. Back is just like this rock who just runs over people. It, you could just like the five stars are just popping off the field, and they're, you know, they're playing like a much smaller, slower team, but they had issues with them. And so, I mean, Mississippi State has better talent than Missouri. So, I think that's winnable. Not to say that Alabama's not, but that's tough over there. Yeah. You know,
Will Rogers, the comment I made last week was the only way he can get national respect is through wins. He can't do it through numbers because of the nature of state system and the Mike Leach, yep, you know, reputation and all that. You know, nationally, because that's what you do. You're a national college football guy. How is Will Rogers perceived amongst the best college quarterbacks in the country?
He's kind of forgotten about.
Yeah.
You know, and I listened to some of his press conference stuff, and he talks like after every game and stuff, and he seems to be very quotable. He seems to be a pretty good story too, and you know, while I'm here, I'm trying to talk to as many people as I can, just to see people, and he's one of them that I would like to see. But I think today is the player's day off, you know,
yeah,
for
it
on
is.
Monday. But he's just kind of he kind of gets lost. And you're right. I think a lot of it has to do with a few things. I think it does have to do with the system. So any quarterback in Mike Leach's system kind of, well, is it really him, mm-hmm, sort of thing? You know, or is it Mike Leach, or is it the system kind of thing? And you get that a lot. And also, you know, he plays at Mississippi State, and that's just how it is. Like you just get a little lost here because that's the nature of it. In that, that's unfortunate. But I think, you know, his attention on him will come as the team continues to win. And I think that's what has to happen, you know, for him to get attention that is warranted. The team needs to continue to win and be 6-1, say, heading into Alabama. That those are things that have to happen to for him to get attention, because the numbers aren't going to necessarily be the thing that does it. But the numbers are incredible. Yeah, I know he's about to break this week, right? The completions, maybe.
Should,
SEC,
yeah,
completions or something. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I would be remiss not to ask you about Mississippi State's opponent from this past weekend and Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Just what do you think about that? Because it's just a unique situation. I don't know that we ever had in college football. Mm-hmm. He's in his fifth year. He should be getting fired at the end of the season. Mm. But that's not going to happen, because they're not going to dole out $100 million.
Yeah, they have a lot of money.
Yeah.
They probably don't have $90 million to write the check there for him. It's probably the biggest disappointment of the season. I'm going through my head here. I mean, you know, you got the Wisconsin's been a disappointment. And, you know, maybe some would say the Auburn's. But that's been the biggest disappointment, is A&M. And, you know, the College Station media, there's not a ton of them, right? It's just a small area. I mean, they've got the Houston there. It kind of comes over. But I saw some of the stories and columns the last couple of days, and they're, I don't want to say calling for the firing, because I think they understand that that's not going to happen because of the money. But I've seen them call for him to relinquish the play calling duties, mm-hmm, you know, and you see him on the sidelines with all the play calling sheets. Yeah. You know, it looks like he's doing expense reports.
And that's not a mid-season thing. You know, you can't just do that today.
No. So that would be some staff shakeup situation in the offseason, you would think. And maybe, I don't know if Jimbo Fisher to be a guy that would relinquish play calling duties. I think that that'd be really hard for him to do. But it sounds like the movement over there is to have him at least think about doing that over the off season. And you know, Jimbo gets a lot of credit for one season and one quarterback. He does. And, you know, Jameis in that one season at Florida State, the championship year, he gets a lot of credit for those 2 years. And when you look at the rest of the years, there's the 9-1, then the COVID year that he had. But it's just kind of ho-hum. And the quarterback recruiting has been the shocking. ESPN did a really good, like, Twitter thread.
Yeah.
David did it from ESPN and David Hale. And it was really good. I mean, it was shocking at the – and, you know, quarterback recruiting is really fickle, and there's a lot of busts that happen and all that. You can do it for every team. But to have – to see some of the numbers of the Jimbo Fishers – when he's heralded as his quarterback kind of guru type of offensive guy, it was shocking. I mean, I think it's like his hit rate's like, you know.
It's low.
It's very low. It's below 20%. It's below maybe 15%.
What's been the storyline in the SEC that's had the most attention for you this season? This season, yeah.
Well.
I know you love storylines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stuff going on at Auburn is, you know, a week before the season begins, the AD's fired. And then the football coach appears to be hanging by a thread. You know, so that's certainly a juicy one. You know, NIL has been a
thing.
Oh, no. That's been talked about quite a bit. I was in Oxford, as you know, mm-hmm. a few days ago, and
yeah, with their big announcement.
It was a big announcement. I walk into the room, and there's boosters, and there's athletes, and there's coaches and administrators, and there's collective officials, you know, NIL collective officials, and the announcement is, hey, we're getting organized and we're going to start paying players, basically. And the new world of college sports, it was kind of jarring, but because of a Mississippi law change, it's pretty much legal for them to be involved with third parties and do that. So that's been interesting to watch. We all know about the Jimbo Nick stuff that happened in May.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's real issues. Low resource SEC schools like this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are going to have issues with NIL. Meeting with some people here, it's a real issue, and it's hard to see Mississippi State and other places like Vanderbilt and maybe even Arkansas and to an extent, you know, Ole Miss, although they seem to be rallying, and South Carolina, maybe Kentucky. It's hard to see the Missouri for sure. It's hard to see those teams having sustained success without pumping millions, plural, every year for football team.
We'll do one college football playoff storyline here because you're here to speak with Dr. Keenum today, mm-hmm. Who I don't know his exact title. I'm sure you do, but he is a massive figure in the way the college football playoff is expanding and all that. Do people appreciate, especially Mississippi State people, do they appreciate how big a figure in college athletics Dr. Keenum is?
You know, I think he's gotten a little more notoriety lately,
yeah.
Right? Because it's in the news so much. You know, the college football playoff has the two governing bodies, and everybody focuses on the secondary body, which is the group of commissioners, because they're basically making the decisions, and usually things get rubber stamped when they move any kind of proposal to the top governing body, which is the school presidents, one from each of the 10 conferences, and Notre Dame's president, and, you know, Dr. Keenum chairs that group, the top group, the top governing body of the CFP. But lately, that governing body hasn't just rubber stamped things. It's gotten involved heavily because of the, shall we say, bitterness and pettiness of the commissioner room. So they've gotten involved, and because they got involved, I think that Dr. Keenum has taken more of a heavier role, and you know, I think he pushed some buttons and used his political savviness as a former politician to reach a compromise with the president's room and get a playoff pass through when it looked like it was not going to happen.
He's such a nice guy. It makes me fear what he would be like if he had to turn it on. Like, those are the guys you have to watch out for,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. quiet but deadly.
Yes.
Right?
Something
yeah,
like
silent
that.
Killer. That's how some people have described him. You know, he worked for Thad Cochran for about 20 years or so up in D.C., 15, 20 years. And so he's got that way of silently in maneuvering, I think, behind the scenes what he would like to happen.
You live in D.C.
Yeah.
Is college football a thing there?
No.
Is that weird for you?
It is. It is. But I'm on the road so much like this. Yeah. I'm on the road so much during the season. But every now and then, like, you know, I'll go to a game, you know, three out of every 4 weeks probably during the season. So I was at home like the last 2 weeks. And you're looking for a place that has college football on TV. I remember right when we moved to D.C. in 2019, I went to like a bar, you know, expecting college football to be on. It's Saturday. And it was soccer.
I mean, I like soccer.
Yeah, I was like, look.
Not at the expense.
We're going to have to change this. So, but I will say there's one thing about D.C. You know, it's a melting pot. Nobody's from D.C. It's a melting pot. You got all these people from different places of the country. And so everybody, every team kind of has their own little bars. Mm-hmm. You know, there's there's a New Orleans bar. There's a Tulane bar down there. There's there's a Mississippi State bar down there. I mean, and you go there and it's a pretty cool, fun time. And it's this melting pot of people.
That's cool stuff. Ross Dellinger, man. Always good to talk to you, buddy.
Absolutely.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.